So let's get started. It is 5:00 on June 2nd, 2020, and I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water and Sanitary Authority budget hearing. We are holding this meeting via Blue Jeans conference call under Executive Order 10-16, whatever the executive order is that allows us to do this at this point. I'll call the roll. Ann Price.
Here.
Tom Donahue.
Here.
Tamara Gogan.
Here.
John Carlson.
Here.
For the record, all directors are present. At this point, we'd like to take public comments or public questions on the budget. Kirk, did you receive anything from the public?
No, I didn't.
All right. Then having no public comment at this point, I will adjourn the budget hearing at 5:01. And our next action on the budget will be our budget approval, our budget. Michelle, what's the name of that next meeting? The budget?
The budget adoption.
All right, and we are adjourned from that meeting. It is 5:02, and I will call to order on June 2nd, 2020, and I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water and Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting. Again, we are meeting via Blue Jeans conference call under the executive order for COVID-19. I'll call the roll. Ann Price.
Here.
Tom Donahue.
Here.
Cameron Gogan.
Here.
John Carlson.
Here.
For the record, all directors are present. Item 3A, approval of the meeting minutes for May 5th, 2020. These are the business meeting minutes. Are there any comments or questions?
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the meeting, approve the minutes of the May 2020 business meeting.
I second the motion.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the May 5th, 2020 business meeting minutes. All in favor, raise your hands, please, as you say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Item 3B, approval of the Budget Committee meeting minutes of May 12, 2020. Any questions or comments on those meeting minutes?
Hearing none, I will move that we approve the May 12, 2020 Budget Committee meeting minutes.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the May 12, 2020 Budget Committee meeting minutes. All in favor? Aye.
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 All opposed? I see none. The meeting minutes have been approved. Item 4, financial reports. 4A. Accounts payable for May 5th, May 15th, and May 31st of 2020. Any questions on the payables?
I have a couple of questions.
All right.
On May 5th, there are two $1,400 checks for due solutions. What are those for?
Installations is for our work order software contract, and so it's how we relay our work orders to our field personnel from our office.
Okay. Also on the same date, their Olympic Foundry. What was that one? two checks, one for $82, one for $575.
Rochelle?
The one for $575 is for sewer risers for manholes because Sillamette County is going to be paving part of Broughton Road. The $82 is the shipping for those. It came on a separate invoice.
Right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have just one or two others, just a second. On the 31st of May, we had a $3,000 check for Atlas Hospital. What was that for?
Go ahead, Rochelle.
Atlas Copco.
No, Rochelle's got it.
Yeah, Atlas Copco compressors at Horn Creek. It's a machine that we have out there. They had to come and do some service work.
Okay, and just under that item, two checks, same date for BMS Technologies for $484.34 each.
BMS is actually Ben Mailing. They do all of our billing stuff, but they changed their name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Also, on the last page of accounts payable for the 31st, Kay Zeller had half a dozen checks, all very small. What were they for?
She
a refund of some sort?
It is a refund. She sold her house and she had overpaid.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
That's all I had.
Thank you, Tom. Any other questions on the panel?
Thank you, Rochelle.
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the accounts payables for May 5th, May 15th, and May 31st of 2020.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for May 5th, May 15th, and May 31st of 2020. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes. Item 4B, fiscal year 19-20 report. Any questions for the authority manager or our two other staff members on the phone? All right, hearing no comments with regards to the fiscal year report. Item 5, manager's report. Kurt?
Okay, for the month of May, we had no water or sewer violations. We also had no sanitary sewer overflows. Thank you, Ann. I love the thumbs up. COVID-19 impact. Our office remains closed to in-person transactions, but we're certainly looking at options to reopen. One of the options that Carolyn and I had discussed was perhaps open by appointment, which seems like a reasonable solution to me. But we still have to evaluate sort of the working environment here as to where we can meet with customers safely. Cameron?
Have we had any questions or anybody have a problem with not being able to come in? Or has the increase of Dropbox been utilized more?
Yeah, all
of the Dropbox.
But other than that, there hasn't been a lot of disruption to the customers. But the Dropbox is being used a little more.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. You agree?
I would, yeah.
That gets harder
to though, right?
I'm sorry, Cam. I just wanted to finish up on that.
Does that get walked every night?
Every morning.
Every morning, okay.
And?
Yeah, I'm sure that this is being covered in your thinking, but I'm very concerned about the health and safety of our employees and there's been a large demand for opening the office. I personally would rather not see us rushed into that. And it sounds like there hasn't been. I'm not sure if there's a problem that we're trying to solve by proceeding along these lines, although Kurt, I didn't get a sense in the report here or from your comments if you have a time frame in mind yet or you're starting to think about this. So I kind of would like a little more benefit of your thinking and where sure. you are with this idea.
Sure. I'd be happy to expand my discussion a little bit on that topic. And probably the earliest we would consider accepting meetings by appointment would be next week. But our logic is that we only anticipate maybe two or three appointments a day at this point. We really don't anticipate. People have become accustomed to paying their bills online and over the phone. And setting up new accounts is something that we can also do over the phone. But there are some unique circumstances where it might be beneficial for our customers to be able to make an appointment with us, and we can meet them at the counter, the front door, or perhaps through a window. So I personally would like to start something in the next week or two, if for nothing else, to open the front gate and have an appearance of being open for business. And yet, I believe strongly that we can still protect our staff. And there very well could be ways to interact with our customers without them coming into our building.
Oh, okay, to me personally, thank you for giving me a sense of the timing and your thinking. A couple of things, I have no doubt that everyone that works there and everyone on the board has everybody's health and safety as a top priority. I just am still reluctant personally, and I'm not sure this is a board decision. I'd like to say that as well. But I would just like to express a lot of concern about opening up a situation that has not clearly been required or even sought by customers. And I get the visual impact of having the gate open, but I don't, personally, I'm not seeing a problem to solve. So if it were up to me, I would go a couple more 3 weeks, maybe another month before I took any of this step. But that's just my personal opinion. Like I said, I'm not sure this is an issue that the board decides anyway.
And I might add that we're not under any pressure to reopen at this point. So I do believe we can hold off longer. And I have no problem doing that.
I'd be fine with that.
I would personally support Ann's position at this point. We are the only county in the state with the population that we have that has not seen additional cases. Lincoln County is over 2 weeks of double. I don't know if that's visitors coming to the city or not. I just think that we're in a very delicate position opening up to visitors in our community, and that we are going to have additional cases from asymptomatic spreaders. And I would hate to see our staff be affected because we chose to open when we really didn't have to.
Okay. I'll certainly hold back unless we experience any extreme pressure, I guess I might say, to open and any justified reason that could merit that. I don't anticipate that, so I imagine we could have this discussion next month as well.
Thank you, Kirk. I appreciate being able to have the discussion in the board meeting. I really appreciate that you put the topic on the agenda and with the parentheses kind of explaining what you were thinking there. So I appreciate the conversation.
You're welcome. I guess I'm back on, right?
Yes.
Okay. Our operations staff has remained healthy, and our sewer water and sewer flows are both below normal, and I'll be discussing that more in the item. I want to point out that staff, administrative staff, has worked diligently to get everything in order for the interim audit that took place in May. Both Michelle and Rochelle have provided the auditors everything that they needed to conduct their audit. There's just some final end of year reports that are going to have to be added later. John?
Yeah, Kirk, do you have a sense of how Memorial Day weekend was for water demand this year versus last year?
I'm guessing they were way down. We looked at the whole month flow data, or billing data in particular, and it was down considerably. I would say it was down probably 25% in volume, but I can certainly look back at that and report on that.
Yeah, no, the monthly data is helpful. Thank you.
And I might add, too, that in the near future, I'm going to provide a monthly operations report that summarizes flow data for the board, something that I don't anticipate going over with the board in detail, but something that you can read to get answers that might pop up like that. So
that would be great.
Next month, within 2 months, I should have that. I wanted to also point out, I'm sure many of you have noticed that Pelican Brew Pub has set up a trailer, which is a short-term restroom facility out front. They utilize an existing water and sewer service that in the Sucker Ridge development have used in the past, and Rochelle looked that up, and I don't believe they've used water from that account since 2008, but it certainly came in handy at this time, and so far we haven't encountered any problem as a result of that. Does the board have any questions for me on that, as far as anything that may, perhaps how it may impact us?
Was that from the old Sunset West parking lot?
I could use some help on that.
I don't think so. I think the Pelican itself was the old Sunset West. There was a...
Fishes.
Yes. Yeah, yep, there was a fish facility up front. So, but even in 2008, I can't remember it being used, so.
Unless that was activated for Reach the Beach to clean the parking lot or something.
I don't know, maybe. I'd have to check.
Well, there was a, where the Sunset West, like Tom is talking about, Dory King was there, and they had water services and sewer services. So then,
was it Dory King?
Well, that's the original name that Sunset West was. It was a burger joint.
No, it was ahead of that. It was towards Cape Coanda Drive.
Well, Cameron's correct. I think that was the old Sunset West, which once they sold, Boyd Lucy sold out in Kingfishers, and they tore it down finally because it didn't make any money and they made a parking lot out.
Oh, okay, maybe.
So there's a sewer, there would have been a sewer water connection there.
Yeah, yeah. There is.
And that's what they connected to. So,
Would there be a fee, a rebook up fee, or would it be, or it just?
No, there are fees that have been paid previously, so it was there for putting to good use finally.
So here's a question: if you do tear down a house and it does have water and sewer, and somebody rebuilds a house on it, there's no fee in charge, or just reconnect
no.
fee and just pay your bill?
No.
Correct.
I mean, there are minor fees.
Okay.
Maybe a new meter or something, but that's it.
Oh, okay.
Only paid once.
Ann, and then Sean?
I wondered if this facility that's been installed there, is that just available to the public?
Yep. It's there primarily for Pelican customers, but they made it available to the public.
I think that's a tremendous service they've done, so.
No, I agree, and I believe that you probably also noticed that there's a lot of construction going on at Pelican during their shutdown period. I believe they're making some other modifications, perhaps some additional showers for surfers and items like that. So, and I do also believe that they intend to expand their restroom facilities, although I didn't have a chance to go in and check that out. Okay, Don?
Don?
Yeah, so at one point, and I might be getting this wrong, but my recollection was we had some rule that you could not permanently have water hose hooked up to a trailer. So is that an issue with that situation there?
Typically what that requires is that they are going to hook up something like that. Wire a backflow device. And so we're in the process of getting them set up with a backflow device. But we've inspected the facility. There's no immediate hazards. And this is a temporary. I was told it would be less than 2 months. Although we understand temporary can often turn into much longer periods. And I can assure you, if it turns into a longer period than that, it would require a backflow assembly.
Thank you.
And if there's no other questions on that, the last item I was going to talk about is the Broughton Road Water Main Replacement Project. And that was completed last week and this week, and at least the pipeline was completed. Our staff has installed the valve and the components that are needed to interconnect all of the board piping that was brought together. Tomorrow we anticipate installing the last valve on that. We still need to pressure test that pipeline and disinfect it and collect health samples before we place it in service. And also before we place it in service, very important aspect, we have to connect the old services from the old water main over to the new water main. And we'll be doing most of that in-house, and we may be relying on Coastway to assist in some of the excavation for each of those services. But so far, that project's going very smoothly.
Okay, hearing no questions, let's move on to item 6, unfinished business under the 2020 Water and Wastewater Master Plan. Kirk, you want to fill us in there?
Yes. We're moving forward on the master plan. I reported a couple of months ago that we were on schedule for completion in 2020 here, and there's portions of it I believe that will be completed, but there's also a wastewater flow monitoring component. we're not quite at a point where we can determine whether we want to pay some of the funds, additional funds, to provide flow monitoring at certain locations within our system. I would love to do it, but it can only benefit us if we can capture seasonal flow changes. And this summer hasn't really developed into a normal flow season. And so if things don't get back to the normal flow-wise soon, we may have to hold off on doing summer flow monitoring. We don't want to pay to hook up flow meters that aren't really representative of the season we're trying to capture. So it could push up to the end of next summer at the latest for that portion, that portion of the sewer master plan. Of course, that would impact any sewer modeling that comes out of the master plan. And so I think in my next meeting with Parametrics, I'll gain a better understanding as to how critical that component will be. The board did approve all the entire funds for the flow monitoring in the master plan project. And so if we can get it done, I'd certainly like to do it. But with that said, Parametrics is starting to assemble all the data that we've provided them. Administrative staff, operations staff, myself, we've provided them with a lot of information, a lot of flow information, a lot of billing information, mapping information, and so forth. So they're still in the data collection mode. They've started to look at our water system or our wastewater system demand. And they've sort of pointed out at this point that they're seeing a change from previous master plan suggested we weren't as impacted by water infiltration resulting from storm events. And so I think that's something that's going to come out of this plan a little different than the previous plan. We're seeing infiltration during flood events, and we need to be prepared for that. And I'm starting to hear an echo, but I hope it's not on my end. But Parametrics will also start looking at modeling our water through. And they're going to include a seismic risk component to this assessment as well, for the master plan. So they've got a lot of work to do between now and the end of the year. If they're going to stay on schedule, I anticipate having to motivate them to make this a priority. And that's all I really
Does anybody have questions about the master plan process? Yes, Sean?
I just thank you for being flexible on that summer flow stuff, because it's really crucial that we get a real good indicator of that and not have some false data going forward on it. And so thank you.
You're welcome. And I think that the issue we're going to have to consider in the future is how critical is the wastewater modeling information for us going into next year, and if it is critical to us, then we're going to have to separate that component a little bit and maybe have the engineers look at some more localized information. But hopefully we'll be able to include that. We'll get the remainder of the sewer master plan completed on schedule as well.
So Kirk, if our data is such that we have to split the water plan, the completion of the water master plan from the sewer master plan due to timing of the collection of this information, is Parametrics ready to kind of restructure the schedule so that it doesn't cost us anymore in order to get what we originally asked for, but in a different time frame?
That's a very good question. I would hope that they would, but I will confirm that in my next meeting with the project engineer for this, for our master plan, and yeah, we'll be prepared for the worst, but I would expect them to be able to work around our schedule without any additional charge.
Yeah, okay, thank you. All right, moving on to item 7, new business number 1, COVID-19 customer consideration.
Okay, I just had a couple things I wanted to point out. Staff has looked at the number of past due notices that we had to send out this month, and we saw an increase of about 10 to 15 additional notices that went out. But we still are set at 10 typical shutoffs. And I guess the reason I'm sharing that information is because we were concerned that with no shutoff and the message out that we would be doing no shutoff and no additional fees, we were concerned that our number of different accounts would increase. And we've only seen a very slight increase in that area. Del, would you like to comment?
You know, Kirk, I'm sorry. That was really hard to follow. Do you have your mic on the computer?
No, it's on mute. Let me mute my...
feedback.
Yeah, I've got everything on mute except my phone.
Somebody has feedback so bad.
Really bad.
I'm hearing it when I'm not talking as well.
Huh. Can you hear when I'm talking?
How about if everybody
what?
How about if everybody in the group mutes their device when they're not speaking? Will that help?
Hopefully, we'll try it. It's going to really be hard. So, okay, I'm going to mute.
Okay. And I'll mute my phone when I'm not talking. Yeah, so basically we haven't experienced a lot of additional shutoffs, maybe 2 or 3. And from what I understand, those were typical customers that were regularly being shut off in the past. So from that end, I don't think that we're going to have to make any radical changes when July 1st rolls around and payments become due. And because the message that we're sending out in our shutoff notices is that they're going to have to make arrangements with us. And so if they become delinquent on their account, we're not going to just shut them off unless they don't make arrangements. That normal practice that we do will get us through this period of perhaps a slight increase of shutoff, actual shutoff. Am I still echoing?
Yes.
It must be my phone.
Ann?
I'm curious to know because I'm kind of assuming from past conversations on this subject that it's pretty much standard procedure to offer customers who are having difficulty options like the CARE program, and and I continue to see that none of those funds are being used. So I'm just hoping that we can, whatever we can do to spread the word that that is an option for people who are having serious difficulty paying their bills. I'd like to see us doing that. I don't want to make more of it than it is, since it's good news that there aren't more people than there are having a problem. But I'd like to do whatever I could to encourage people to use that program. And I know they're very active at this time with people all over the county having needs of a financial sort. So.
Kevin, how much money are we talking, Michelle? On the shutoffs, I mean, how? Can't hear you.
Yeah,
you got to
unmute.
Sorry. Rochelle, would I be correct in saying the last report I saw was about $5,000 to $6,000?
Yeah.
We're not talking a lot of money. It is to them, it is to the customer, and you know, we do talk to them, and we put it in writing that they, all they have to do is call us, and we will make arrangements to help them make their payments out longer. So we, it's out there that we will help in any way we can.
And I believe that we also know which of our customers would be eligible for the CARE benefits. And so we'll make sure to pass that on to our customers.
Yeah, they have to be owners, not renters. That's the issue. But if it is a renter and they agree with us to make payments and get caught up, we will do that. CARE can't help them, but we can. Does that make sense? Yes. Sorry.
John, I thought we didn't take payments.
So now you're cut out.
He's muted.
John, we lost you.
Restraint meeting. So we normally take payments for 90 days to get a customer caught up. We have a policy that says if you stay current, we will take the past due balance over 90 days. So you pay your current balance plus one-third of the past due. That has been our policy in the past. Now what we've said is that we would assist if they paid their current and they just made extra payments. So this is an unusual circumstance. This is not our policy.
I'm wondering, I thought that only owners of properties paid the bills. We actually have renters pay the bills?
Oh, every day. Renter will, the owners, the house is in the owner's name and the owner is responsible. We never go after a renter. It always is the responsibility of the owner. But a renter can call us and give us a credit card over the phone and make a payment. They can come in with cash and make a payment. Anybody can make a payment. Anybody.
Right.
We just can't put it in a renter's name.
Gotcha. Okay.
I have a question, Michelle. In that case of when a renter makes a payment, if the renter falls behind in payment, do we then notify the owner so that the owner is aware that that renter is behind?
We notify the address, the mailing address of whoever is being billed. And we do know that the homeowners have called us with address changes to a P.O. box, which belongs to the renter. So that is how they get around the system sometimes. And it's okay because, the worst case scenario is they get the water shut off. It works out. I mean, we do get paid. It doesn't take long.
Okay, my question has to do with this special time, and if a renter then decides to leave and leaves a $1,000 bill for the owner, and the owner says they didn't realize that the renter had fallen behind, that we have a track record that the owner had submitted a change of address, so that we have clear communication on our end that gives
us
a record for that.
We have a audit in the Springbrook system that says when the owner, it's an audit line that says somebody called and gave us a new address. Now, do I know if it was a renter or not? Maybe not, but for the most part, we've never had an issue in the 16 years I've been there. It's just like when somebody sells a house and they leave and they don't pay their final bill, it goes to the new owner. It happens, but it's not very often.
Well, that doesn't sound fair.
The amount due stays with the property. That's the way the DJ gets paid.
Yeah, and if it was a property
collection fees. We don't go after people. We don't have exorbitant payroll expenses.
If the title company did not find and help settle those bills, then the owners can go back to the title company and deal with them and not us.
And it does happen all the time.
Yeah. Any other questions on this issue? First, the 2020 water quality report.
Yes, I'll be brief on this. I've been working on it all week, and it's 95% complete. I want to verify that our water quality data is correct, and if there's some additional information that I'm toying with adding, but all in all, it's going to be in a new format. And I want to make sure that the board gets a copy of the report. So I'll be sending it to you all prior to the end of this week. And then it will be distributed to our customers as well, electronically. We'll get it posted on our website. We'll send out notice at the end of the month in our bills indicating that it's available electronically. And we'll also be posting it at the post office in here, perhaps just out on our lockbox for the time being. But yeah, it's about complete, and I think it's gonna be a refreshing change of pace. I don't know that it's better, but it's certainly got a different look to it. Don?
Can't hear you, Sean.
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Was there anything on that last part of the last thing about several businesses are now reopening and staff is preparing for some anticipated changes? Was there anything significant about what you're anticipating there?
Oh. Yeah. I think some of the anticipated changes that were in our operations. And so it was more the open by appointment. Additional water demands. We're anticipating our water and sewer demands to come back up with the reopening of many of our businesses. So that's what I was referencing there.
Okay, thank you.
Ann?
So back to the water quality report, Kurt. Am I thinking of the same thing? This is the document that we are required to provide to all customers annually. Is that correct?
That's correct. It also references the consumer confidence report.
Okay, so I believe what we've done in the past, and I didn't hear you mention this, but maybe I just didn't hear it. what we've done in the past is actually mailed a physical copy to the billing address of every customer. And I didn't hear you reference that as a distribution method, but is that part of your plan?
It wasn't. We were I'm used to doing electronic distribution, and as long as you're posting a URL bill that provides customers access to the report. Michelle, I thought we distributed them electronically here last year.
Go ahead, Michelle.
The last 2 years, all we have done is put a thing on the bill comment that says you can see the water quality report on our website at such and such a URL. If you would like a physical copy, please call the office and I will mail you one.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
We quit mailing them.
Yeah, so we'll do it almost identical to how it was done last year. Don?
So is this report will be 2019 calendar year report?
It's called, I retitled it, it's called the 2020 Water Quality Report that is reporting on 2019 drinking water quality.
Thank you.
It's confusing, but it shares both dates, and that way it doesn't look like it's a year updated when people open it up. But all water systems across the country produce these reports, and I've been doing it for over 20 years. And looking forward to this one.
All right. Item 8, guest questions and comments. Kirk, did we have any come in for this meeting?
Excuse me, I'm on my calendar. I'm just making sure. No, I didn't receive any.
All right, thank you. Item 9, Director comments, please. Cameron?
I've got a couple. I talked to Rochelle yesterday, and I noticed that Tom's having the same problem that I did. When a new board member comes in, not knowing what the company's names are, when you see the checks paid out, and maybe to have a slip saying what the companies are and what they are like chemicals or uniforms or that kind of things, and also have a list of what the, like, we use the acronyms of CIC charges also for a new board member. Did that help?
I can respond, and as far as acronyms go, I'm used to boards that like them all spelled out, so I have no objection to getting back to that a little more religiously. So if the board doesn't object, I will start spelling out for the public and also for new board members more of the acronyms. It won't be 100% of them, but I can improve in that area.
And I mean, they just change, and it would probably help, you know.
I noticed on the bills where they say CIC and SD system development charges, I always wondered what those meant, even looking at the bill, so it might be helpful to spell that out also on our billing.
Agreed.
And the companies, I imagine, because Tom's having the same questions that I call and talk to Rochelle about. They're just not, you know, normal. It's really helpful. And then another thing, our trucks, are they set up all the same? So if somebody comes in, another employee, I don't know if they have each truck to themselves or whatever, but if the trucks were set where there's their same equipment is in every place, so that if somebody uses it, if they need something, they go to the same place. And I would like to see parts. I think paying for running down to the hardware store to get a dollar or something part when we should have stuff on the trucks. I know it'd be a big cost, but taking the time to go down and get something, you know, you go to the shop, don't have it, then you go down there, and then that's just that much more time. You're not on the job. I know we can't put everything on a truck, but I'd like to see things, you know, that we're not wasting time. The things items that we normally should carry. I don't know.
Yeah, I will look into that. And I think when, you know, right now we're sort of, I'll look into that.
And Kurt and I have mentioned this to Kurt. And this is something to think about as far as we'd like to get another skid up in a corn crick. And I know it's been years ago that they'll hook you up to further north with Thousand Trails, Nantucket, the possibility of Terre Del Mar to help reincost that cost of maybe hooking up with them. I don't know if it would be feasible, how much more land is on Nantucket for getting more fees, structures that would help us for our other skid. I just thought I'd throw it out there and see what you guys think. And I don't know how well the water is as far as the water quality problems that they're having north of us. And if we'd be able to pick up another water tower or reservoirs for us.
Cameron, those are all interesting pieces. The whole process regarding expanding the water sewer boundary is a very convoluted, expensive, and huge process that involves the public. I'm not sure if we're ready to even begin to discuss any of that until we see our master plan and look at what's in front of us. I think it would be premature to begin to think about it until we have the data in front of us.
But would some of that, could of the hookup fees and stuff, could we get to help offset the cost of the engineering? Because I'm sure we're going to have to do an engineering report and everything else along with it. And quite a bit of, like you say, Carolyn, you know, a lot of stuff.
It sounds very simple to take a look at that, but yes, the process is extremely convoluted and very cumbersome. And again, I think we'll wait until we see the master plans before we move forward on any discussion of how to fund them. Ann, you had a question or a comment?
Oh, I think that conversation just covered my concern. Of course, we can't charge any hookup fees if people aren't within our boundary. And the concept of expanding the boundary is extremely complicated. And we have for years designed our systems to serve the population within our boundary, not other populations. But we want to also not forget that we are part of the South County community, and we did, you'll recall, assist Nantucket Shores when they had I can't remember what it was, their well failed or blew up or had to be repaired or something. And we were able to assist them on a kind of long-term, temporary basis. So that was income to us.
Yeah. Tom?
I just wanted to point out, I understand the difficulty of hooking up some of those other systems, but they are all close together, and the Nantucket Shores, I understand, has wells are out of the tsunami zone. Plus, they have a 100,000-gallon plus water tank that's within 15 years old or something like that. The last what I had heard, those are assets that could be utilized. That particular tank is also on the tsunami zone, so those are the positives as far as the future.
Well, just any conversation to just start just back there that I know we've got a lot on our plate, and I just thought I'd throw it out there, and I know there's a lot entailed of expanding our boundaries, and yeah, so anyway.
Okay. Any other director comments?
Oh, I want to congratulate. I want to congratulate Mr. Medina on his little plaque and his article in the paper. Mr. Pin Wizard, there, getting when you left your last place, that you had an article published and another one coming out. So congratulations.
Oh well, thank you. Yeah, that was not something I shared with the board. But yeah, there was an article related to fire systems that I had shared with Director Gogas last week. So, but yeah, I anticipate another article coming out in the AWWA Offlo magazine describing how a small utility responds to the pandemic. So. It's out there now. Hopefully it gets published. It's scheduled for August, but it's not a done deal yet. But thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
All right, then. Moving forward, item 10, we will recess for executive session. In accordance with ORS 192.6602I, an executive session will be held to review and evaluate the employment-related performance of the chief executive officer of any body, a public officer, employee, or staff member who does not request an open meeting. You received a Blue Jeans invitation from Kirk. Michelle, I'll get to you in a second. From Kirk, so the board will sign off of this meeting. The staff will keep this meeting open. The board will go to the next meeting into executive session. When we finish that executive session, the board will dial back into the first meeting so that we can reconvene and adjourn. Michelle, you wanted to add?
I do. Rochelle and I are going to leave this meeting. I don't think that we have to stay on board. Kirk and I tried this out earlier today. We could go into an old meeting. So I'll leave it on. So I'll just go ahead and leave it on, but Ann, text me if you need to. Somebody text me, and I'll come back up and restart it. But I'm going to leave
it
on now.
Rochelle?
Do I need to stay to record the reconvene and adjournment?
What?
That was terrible.
What was that? Text me.
Rochelle, would you repeat?
Yeah, do I have to stay so that I can record the reconvening and the adjournment of the meeting?
Whoa!
Seriously?
Oh my God, that was people. Rochelle.
Just text me.
Okay, Rochelle and Michelle can text each other. The rest of us, we need to go ahead and quit this meeting and dial into our next meeting.
All right. I'm not sure, so I've got to close out of this and go back in.
You have to close out of this, go to your email you got from Kirk with a different meeting number, and dial back into that meeting.
Oh, you might want to resend it to me.
Michelle, could you do that?
Michelle, can you resend
that?
This meeting?
Actually, I can't. Kirk is
I can't either.
I don't have the authority.
I can forward the message. Try to do that.
Okay, would you ask Kirk to let us know in the write down?